And Frank Williams? Frank was at Muzzy Lane, also a local company. And so I'm Rob Lindemann, and I'm the coordinator of the IMGD Speaker Series. And I'm glad to see so many of you here. There's some seats up here, at least a seat up here, if you guys would like. There's another one over here. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. We hope to have a good turnout all year long. We've introduced food to the mix this time to try and get you guys to come out more. So what I've done is, we did this last year and it went over pretty well, is ask students who had internships over the summer to come talk about how they got their internship, what did they work on when they were there, as much as they can talk about, and what was your average day like, and what's your strategy for tips that you would give other students who are looking. So how many of you came last year? Okay, so some of the people who got, thanks Dean. Dean was here too. So some of the students who got internships were here last year. I don't know if it helped any, but we hope that this helps you. So I'm first going to ask Ryan and Cam to come up and talk about their experience. Do you guys want to present something? You're just going to talk. Either way is fine.
We can just talk for now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm
Ryan. I interned at Dajabon.
Hold on a second. So I'm going to ask you guys to, you can hear me, right? I'm going to ask you to pass the microphone between yourselves. Because we're recording this, so you can watch it later.
I am a junior. I'm an IMGD art major. And over the summer, I was essentially the sole artist for Dajabon Games.
I'm Tamlin Miller. I'm a senior in IMGD Tech. I also worked at Dajabon Games as the technical intern. I wrote a lot of scripts for procedural level design, and I researched a lot about procedural level design while I was there.
So how I got this internship, basically Ichiro, the owner of the company, came to judge the projects for the game development courses. I was in artistic game development, he liked what he saw in our project, and we talked afterwards. And then later on, a couple weeks later, while I was at Boston Postmortem, which you guys should all go to, I saw him again, and a few of us went over and talked and asked if he was offering any kind of job internship things over the summer. He said he did, and a few emails later, Tam and I went to interview at his place, and I guess they liked what they heard, so that's how I got internship.
I had a mostly similar experience, no Boston Postmortem, but in IMGD 3000 and 4000, the technical development classes, he was one of the judges, Ichiro, after the school year ended, I emailed him and said, "Hey, I heard you were doing internships, and I did these games, and this is why I'm qualified." And then he invited me to an interview, and I brought a notebook with some notes that I took about the game that we were going to be helping to make, and I guess that impressed him.
So the moral of the story is, do well on your projects because they could get you a job. Let's see. As for what I actually did, as I said, I was the artist. Basically, we both started out with smaller responsibility tasks. In the game that we worked on, A Reckless Disregard for Gravity, which actually came out last Thursday, so I can pretty much talk about everything I want about it. We had the task of creating 80 levels. And if you don't know the game, it's a base jumping simulator. So you jump off a building, fly about 1 kilometer down, trying to get close to other buildings without crushing yourself, and then land safely. Let's see. So for our first tasks, we basically did level design. We put together just basic levels, tried to mess around with ideas, and experimented with unique looks and feels for the actual gameplay. And then from there, once we had a good grasp on that, once we got kind of a better relationship with the actual company, we were able to branch off into our respective art and tech tasks. As an artist, I did models for buildings and whatever other pieces that you fly down by. I did textures for those, critiqued aesthetic parts of the game, created terrains using terrain generators. And by the end of the summer, basically they handed every single level they had off to me, and I did an aesthetic critique of each one, tweaked anything that didn't look as good as I wanted it to be. And then once I had done with that, handed it back to them and they went in the game. Lots of the levels we designed went into the game, so this was no small, as they like to put it, two door textures for a huge company for one game. We had a lot of impact on how the game looked and felt.
So, as I said earlier, when we branched off, I ended up doing a lot of procedural level design, which involved writing scripts that made it so creation of levels was a whole lot easier and quicker. I made over 24 scripts, I think, and it sped up level design really quickly, especially since they needed 80 levels in like a month. After that, they started putting me into some creative, weird stuff where I, if you play the game, you'll hear a radio announcer occasionally named Nebin. I wrote most of those, sayings, as well as, voice acted for them. And I also wrote some of the quotes that you'll see around the game. And I also was able to play through all of the levels to test them for glitches and score balancing.
So for the day-to-day, basically this was mostly a work from home type job. We'd go in twice a week for meetings. The beginning of the week, we would go in and have meetings basically for building stuff all together, just building a few levels. We'd pass the levels around in a circle, add each of our own touches to the levels, and most of the time they'd make their way into the game after a few more passes. And then later on in the week, we'd have kind of a general meeting at night with everybody, including a couple marketing guys, one who works for them, volunteers for them, and then another intern who joined us later on in the summer. And we would talk about what we had done during the week, basically present everything we had done, brainstorm a lot. Through this whole process, we were brainstorming new ideas almost every time we met, new features for the game, how to make it more fun, new pieces to put in it to make it make it look cool, and anything like that. So most of the work was actually done at home, and then when we'd meet together, we'd show what we had done during the week and stuff like that. So
To add on to that, we also definitely played a fairly large part in the development of AH, because other than us two, there are three or four people working at Dejabon. So we definitely played a big part in the development.
Only two of which actually do development. The other two are marketing. So.
Mm-hmm. So
what else? Tips.
Yeah. So some tips. If you are going to be joining an internship that's making a specific program, product, software, or whatever, make sure you play through a demo or read up on it and read up on the company and take notes and bring in suggestions to your interview. They really like that if you get involved with them before you're even with them. And also contact them and thank them after the interview. And I think that's all I have.
Pretty much all I have to say about that is definitely do anything supplementary to whatever you guys do here. Postmortems, just game conventions, anything like that, that you can go actually meet and talk to people in the industry, because they will remember your face if you leave a good impression. Ichiro, two of the guys, Ichiro and Dan, the level design guy, are actually graduates from WPI, so they definitely remembered us from when a few of us approached them at Boston Postmortem. So I'd say just the best thing you can do is go talk to these guys. Even at like the speaker series here, when someone comes in and you're interested in a topic, go talk to them after. Just make them know who you are, because it could turn into a job later on. So that's it.
So what I think we'll do is keep questions until everybody goes, and then we'll kind of have a panel session talk a bit. So let's thank you again.
Thanks.
Okay, so Kyle and Alex, you want to come up? Again, please talk into the microphone. I don't know who's going first.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Hi, I'm Kyle Horn. I'm an IMGD art major. I'm a sophomore this year. I interned at Naval Research Lab in the Information Technology Division, working in a virtual reality lab, which is really sweet. So if you can ever do that, do it.
And I am Alex Tilley. I'm also a sophomore. I'm also an art major. And I work doing basically the same thing as him on the project was called Point Man, and it was like a hybrid between full-on virtual reality, where you're like all suited up and, you know, you have the headgear and everything, and controller-based stuff.
So how I got this was actually through an email from Professor Lindemann here. It went out to every IMGD student, and I jumped on it right away. Basically said, here's this guy at Naval Research Lab looking for people to help him develop this system. I didn't have much information, but got all his contact information, sent him an email, and talked to him, really pressed on him to show him how interested I was, and then got it.
That's basically how it went for me too. I saw the email from Rob and was in Washington, and I live in Maryland, so I was like, oh sweet, and I jumped on it, sent the email, went through the security clearance, everything, which took quite a while, but just kept on it, and eventually they said, oh, you're hired.
So what we kind of did there differed. He kind of went more with, he worked with 3ds Max a lot. He was doing
building interior.
I'll let you explain that. Basically, what I did a lot of technical writing. What we had was a system called Pointman, like you said, and basically it was a user interface with a set of pedals. It had a head tracker, six degree of freedom head tracker, so when you moved your head while you're sitting in the chair, you moved your head in the game. And then a regular, I think it was DualShock 2, it was a PS2 controller. And essentially what I did is tested that system, learned how to use it, learned why they were suggesting that Marines use it to train for infantry training, and basically took that, broke it down into three separate components of moving, looking, aiming, shooting, and then the whole thing together, tactical movement, and wrote basically a long tutorial about how to use it for, you know, a brand new end user. And
you?
I basically, interface was really designed for was close combat and like building clears and whatnot. And when we got there, they were in the process of integrating their interface into the software that they use. It's called VBS2. And the problem with VBS2 is they have like no building interior models. So you couldn't really show off what this software was designed to do because there was nowhere to show it off in. So what I did was I drew up this, you know, big office building type sketch, made it in 3ds Max, and discovered the difficulty in getting it into VBS2. It's extremely difficult, let's just put it that way. And eventually we did get a model in there that basically fits their needs for something, so when, you know, a general or someone is like, show us what this does, you plop a guy down in this building and we put some enemies in it, and they can go around and be like, see, when you turn this corner, you can pie the corner and do this skill properly, and there's the bad guy, and oh no, we didn't do it in time, he killed us, and stuff like that. But before I got there, it would have been like, yeah, here's a wall, you can go around the wall. So just making models to fit their needs.
Another thing that we both did kind of off to the side, that was kind of if we had some downtime, we could work on it. We did developing scenarios, and basically the software we're using, VBS2, it had a level editor like StarCraft or any other type of game. And basically you could take any model that was in their library and make any scenario you wanted. So we developed scenarios to kind of supplement the tutorial I wrote and to show off the true use of the Pointman system. So that's another little thing we did. And then day-to-day was kind of weird. There was a lot of freedom at this job. There was, we walked in for the first couple weeks, there was a lot of planning. And I developed a really intimate relationship with the whiteboard. That became my best friend. Then after that, we branched off into our separate areas. He did the modeling, I did the tutorial writing. And we could really tackle it any way we wanted to. There wasn't really a strict guideline to what we had to do and when we had to do it. It was, here's what you have to do, show us what you can do. And, you know, I just started writing the tutorial, and then, you know, I sent them a copy, my advisors. They'd send it back, they liked it, so I kept going with that, and it kind of just snowballed and came out with the final product.
Yeah, like Kyle said, it was kind of a weird job in that it was like, those times when we'd be in there just kind of like, what do we do today? And then those other times when it was like, oh my God, we have 20 things to do, you know, and where was this before? So on average, it was like, get there at like 7:30, you know, go through the security checkpoint and whatnot, log in, see if there was any messages saying anything specific to do, and then if there wasn't, just work on whatever project we had last been working on, and then leave at probably 3-ish. So, and we got paid leave. That was cool.
We also went out to lunch a lot. They loved going out to lunch. That's a very important. Actually, there was one guy that we worked with, Rob Page, who's awesome. He's kind of like a. that sarcastic worker. He's a really great guy, really funny. The most important time of the day for him was lunch, and we would actually have meetings about where we wanted to go for lunch. Like, we would sit down, seriously discuss it, come to a conclusion, maybe use the whiteboard if we had to.
Serious business.
Yeah.
As government.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What else? I mean, a lot of random stuff. I'm not going to go into too much detail. So the tips for getting these jobs or internships: read the emails that the professors send out to the IMGD mailing list, because that's how I found mine. That's how we found his. Those are really helpful. Dean, I think in D-term, didn't you post a whole list of internships?
Whenever things come through, I post, and I always make my way through GDC's job fair.
So talk to your professors. They're a first-hand source. Go on to the websites. If you're interested in working at a company, I guarantee you there's a spot on there that says job offerings or something about internships. Build up a portfolio or a resume. Show them something. And when you find the job, when you find an internship that you're interested in, really stress how much you want to be a part of this. Don't just email them, say you're interested, and then wait for them to talk. Really, really just stress your interest to them.
Yeah, the last point is really important. I mean, there was a few times when it would you'd send an email and there'd be no response, and you really had to kind of keep on them. I mean, not to the point where you're being obnoxious. That was kind of the balance you have to find. But if you just send an email and then don't get a response and just leave it, you might lose that job that you could get if you just kind of really said, I want to be here, what do I have to do, and do everything as soon as you can.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm kind of done too.
Okay. All right, thank you. So I have to say, actually, and I wrote this in the email, I did my PhD in Washington, D.C., and I spent 3 summers working in this laboratory. And I knew it's a really cool place to work. Rob Page is definitely a really interesting and fun guy. They really do go out to lunch every day. They go to Alexandria or someplace across the river and go for lunches. It's definitely not a game company. It's a really different environment. They're working kind of on next gen stuff. And the interesting thing is their stuff gets used by real Marines to do training. So you can definitely have an impact because of that. Okay. So I'm next going to call on Frank Williams, who worked at Muzzy Lane Software, and he was all by himself. Or it probably wasn't all by himself, but so he's going to tell you about that experience.
Okay, so yeah, I'm Frank Williams. I'm a senior IMGD tech, and I interned at Muzzy Lane Software. They're a company that is working in the learning games field, but they also make war games. So let's see. I originally found out about them through IGDA's website. They have a listing of a bunch of companies. And then I heard about them at the Independent Game Developers Conference in Boston. So I applied, and then a few weeks later, Chuck Rich, he's somewhere here, sent out an email saying that they were looking to hire someone. So I was like, aw, sad face. But then they actually did reply to me later on. So I did a phone interview and then a real interview, and I guess I impressed them enough because I got the job. So let's see. I got hired as a sort of a scripter, a game programmer, but I ended up working on the platform team. I was doing C++ work for their game engine. I was sort of the small features guy. I was working on little things that improve other programmers' experience. So I would build mechanisms for the scripters to work with. That went on for a while. We would have design meetings when I would start. I'd give like an estimate of how long it would take. I would do it, ask questions, stuff like that, and things would get done. So towards the second half of the summer, they started realizing, oh man, the fall's coming up. We got to release our game. So they really started pushing towards making history too, trying to get that out the door. So they took me from the engine team and put me on to the Making History 2 team. At first I was doing sort of 2D UI stuff, just like panels and displaying information. But eventually I became the 3D UI guy. So I was doing a lot of stuff with models, just displaying stuff on the 3D map. So like an example is, it's a war game, so you have units like an infantry guy, but you don't want to make a model for every single country. So one thing you could do is just make them wear like a patch or a decal. So I was doing stuff like replacing certain parts of Collada files with other parts of different files to display decals and stuff. So it was pretty cool. I basically did that. I added a lot of 3D features to the game. Most of them were pretty small, and I did a lot of like bug fixes and whatnot. Let's see. Yeah, so it was pretty relaxed environment. It was a pretty small company. There was like 10 engineers and then like 10 non-engineers, like marketing artists. Pretty much people just, like, it wasn't really like a strict work environment. Like, I didn't have to like log every minute of what I was doing and like follow like a very strict development plan. It was like I'd get a task and do it. And that's pretty much how everyone was. It was just, everyone was just there and working hard. Typical days were like 9 to 6-ish, around there. Yeah, there was a lot of joking around and dodging Nerf bullets. Let's see. Fridays we had like company meetings where they'd provide like pizza, and like Tuesday everyone would go out to lunch. Thursdays were bar night. Pretty fun. And let's see, what else?
When is Making History coming out?
Sometime in the fall.
When it's done.
Yeah. So let's see. Tips for getting jobs. I would say the biggest thing is impress them. Like the moment they see your resume, they should be like, wow, I want to talk to this person. They get probably not a lot of resumes, but you know, you overhear them talking, and like when someone doesn't really have a good resume, you know, they kind of joke about it. You know, it's like, oh, I don't really, this person doesn't interest me. So really try and impress them. Especially at the interview, just really be confident. Just, you want to be the guy that gets stuff done. That's, you know, they want you to get stuff done, in my opinion. So any way you can sort of convince them of that would probably help you the most. Oh, and also, do a very good job in object-oriented analysis and design, tech people. I showed off my work on that for my thing, and I think that helped me get the knowledge in that course, helped me sort of understand the concepts that I used during the engine portion. And so since they originally wanted me as a game programmer, since I also could do all this other stuff, I think that really helped me out. So do a good job in that class.
Okay, Alex, should come up and talk. Do you want to present something?
No, I'm just...
Okay, your notes?
Notes.
Okay.
Just names. All
right. I'm going to clip that on and you don't have to carry it.
All right, so Ian Williams and I, my name is Quadoba. I'm a IMGD major, graduate in 2011. Both Ian and I are intern at Imagine Engine, which is a small company about like 30 people. It's mostly known for making children and family casual games, and it's part of Foundation, what we call Foundation 9 Entertainment, which owns several other well-known studios like Double Helix, Backbone Entertainment, Sumo Digital. A little bit of history background about Imagine Engines that we used to make like PC games, online flash-based games, and now we are making a transition into like console games like for Wii and Xbox 360. So how I got this internship, I actually got this from through the CDC. Late in April, they have like a postings online, and I just submit my resume and cover letter, and then I got through the interview part, and then I got the job, both Ian and I. At Imagine Engine, my tasks were involving two different projects. The first project was, I can tell the name now, which is, it's called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? The second edition, which is called Game Time. It's going to be released by THQ on October 26th, hopefully. I came in at the end of the project, so mostly what I did was to adding small features to the projects, like write XML scripts that described different animation, 3D animations, adding chat pad support for the 360, for example, or like writing technical functionality to menu items, etc. And then also, I did have to do a lot of debugging stuff. So all the debugging jobs comes in little tickets, what we call tickets, from the QA people or from other tech people. And then you have to read the description of the tickets and then reproduce it. Sometimes the description is pretty straightforward. Like, if you play this game, press this button, and then something happened that's not supposed to happen. But some other times, then the description is like I played this game 9 times in a row, and it crashed. So you basically have to play the game 9 times in a row, over and over, and then find out if the game crashed or not. The first project actually is pretty fun because I got to play around with the Xbox development kit and also the Wii development kit. But debugging is sometimes get a little bit repetitive and boring sometimes. But I didn't have to wait for long to the second project, which is which I jump in right at the beginning, the prototyping phase. So for this second project, I had a lot more freedom in terms of how can I get around into finishing like a big task. So for example, if the producer would tell me to make fire, for example, then I can do whatever I want to make fire happen. those were my tasks at the at Imagine Engine. For Ian's, he was involved in a project, a DS, a Nintendo DS and Wii projects called Alvin and the Chipmunk, the Squeakquel. which is supposed to be released at the same time as the He was in it too. So, you know how it goes. So Ian did a lot of level design work. After Professor Morietti left, he took over all the level design and then handling like localization of the text and audio files. He wrote also wrote scripts to do to make audio generate audio files. It's actually a rhythm game, so you have different music and then different like notes that you have to play differently. Then he wrote all the script for that, and then did all the small bug fixing and whatnot. the normal life at Imagine Engine is pretty interesting. We have pretty flexible hours. We have to be in the office from 10 to 4 every day, but we can choose either to allocate our 8 hours work day any way we want. So we can come in at 8 a.m. and then work until 4, or we can come at 10 a.m. and work until 6. General rules is that if you come at 9 or 9:30, no one's going to be there. So generally, should general people goes from 6 to from 10 to around 6, and then dress. So most game company dress pretty casually. So like a tip for you, don't overdress to a game company because they will make fun of you. I had that one experience once. And every day we have like at the beginning of the day we have a small meeting we call Daily 15. So we discuss about what we did the day before and then what kind of tasks that we have to finish, what kind of bugs that we have on our games and the tasks that we have to finish by the end of the day. We also do have, do go out to lunch and we call it a lunch train. So one person would get up and go around and ask people where they want to go to lunch, and then once we reach an agreement, then everyone would take turns and drive to Wendy's or Boston Market, KFC, Taco Bell, stuff like that. Then we have a kitchen store that have like unlimited supply of sodas and candies. we don't get it for free, but we sell pretty cheap, so. And then sometimes when things are not really when the projects are not really stressful, then we do take breaks to play basketball outside, and then people would stay a bit later to finish their work for the day. So for tips, for tips of getting an internship, one thing that you should do is to be very proactive in finding job opportunities. I wasn't really doing all those things. So I got really lucky that actually Imagine Engine was recruiting through the CDC, which by the way, they probably will. In the future, but you really should go to Boston Postmortem and maybe go to online sources like Gamma Sutra. They do have a lot of jobs listing there. And then also, like, if you're looking for an internship, like have a clear idea of what you want or like to do during that internship. So if an opportunity comes up that really suits your needs, then you really have to focus on that. Like, so for example, for the Imagine Engine job, then I really focus on like writing my own cover letter that I wrote an entire cover letter just for the Imagine Engine company itself, and then prepare a lot for the interviews. I do a lot of research on the company, maybe play some of their games, because they do sometimes ask you about their company, what do you know about the company, and if you play their games. And then also, yeah, be ready to show off your best work during the interview. If you're a tech person, then you can just show off your work. If you took like computer graphics class, then show off your computer graphics job. And then, or you can just make out like a online portfolio, which is also very important for tech person to have an online portfolio. they do ask you sometimes. And then also the last tips, I think you would probably really like it, which is to play a lot of video games. because sometimes they do ask you what kind of video games you're playing, and then if you can answer on the fly and then make some kind of critical comments on that that video games, and maybe like how to improve them or why do you like them, then it's also like a very good idea. Also, yeah, by the way, if it's already April or May and you still don't have an internship, don't give up, because some company actually do look for internship really late in the school year. So actually, Imagine Engine was looking for internship at late April, which is pretty late. But they still hire new interns up until like mid-June. So don't give up. Like if you think it's already too late, it's not. All right. So that's probably it.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Guys, what I'd like to do is to actually ask the speakers to go get some food and then come back here. And we'll set up some chairs here. And after they've gotten their food and are sitting down, you guys can go get your food and we'll start taking questions and talk that way. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So,
unpaid, if it's a good work, they want to now pay you.
Yes. Yes.
The rest of you guys are all
based. Yep. I forgot how to pronounce your name.
Qua.
Qua. All right. You said there was the lateness in the year. Is it too late to go in for an internship?
Yeah.
There's a drop-off point. What's the earliest time, do you think, to apply?
Oh, the earliest time?
Yeah.
You can apply now.
Well, yeah, apply now.
Are they looking for summer internships now?
Well, if you go to postmortem and just talk to people, and they will, if they like you, then they will just gonna give you an internship. They're just gonna open a new internship position for you if you're interested. Because most game companies, I would say, like, they rarely have interns. Mm-hmm. That's in our Foundation 9 Entertainment. Imagine Engine is actually the first studio that have interns there. So,
what spec are you? Tech. Okay. I did 2 years of Big Huge Games, and I found that they actually had a lot of interns. That was one of their things.
Sorry guys, you gotta ask you.
They had a lot of art interns, but as tech, I'm not sure how much that helps. So,
I'll add something. So at Muzzy Lane, right? Like it's a small studio. So when sort of projects are starting to get sort of big, they would end up hiring a lot of interns, and so they actually hired like throughout the summer. Like I applied probably towards the end of last year, but I actually started mid-June. And there were other people that started like even later. Like there was actually one person late August, so like into the fall. So I would just like look at their sites and see when they're hiring.
Did any of you use RSS feeds at all to look at, like, in conjunction with Kama Sutra? Or
I didn't.
I've heard that's a good technique.
Something about when you're looking for an internship, I'm GD Art, but I did an internship at Naval Research Lab in a virtual reality lab. So I was doing technical writing. Just because you're an art major or a tech major doesn't mean you necessarily have to get an art or tech internship. I mean, I went into this internship not really knowing exactly what I was going to be doing, but I still enjoyed it. So even if it's not exactly applied to your major, still try to go for it if you can't find anything else, because it's going to be a good experience no matter what.
Kind of along those lines, actually, one thing that especially if you're like a freshman or something and you don't have like a real portfolio, so to speak, like when I was at Big Huge the first time, I was there 2 years. The first year it was like I just did grunt work, like I was did clerical duties. But then the next summer it was like, oh, we know you. You know, you worked really hard, and, you know, so you can do QA now. And then, obviously, I went off to college. And but even if you get on that really base level, and if you work your butt off, your reputation can get you rehired in a different position.
I want to say one thing. So Ian Williams just came in. He had class before this. And he was also at Imagine Engine.
Say hello.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, so I spent this summer as an intern with Qua at Imagine Engine. I enjoyed it a lot. I had the same position as him. I'm IMGD Tech and CS, like him. And we were both, junior engineers, I guess. So, if you have any questions that he wasn't able to answer, then you can ask me, I guess. But
so, what do you think the prospects are of changing these internships into a job in the future?
I don't know. We had the option to stay at NRL. Mm-hmm. We were on a salary, so we were full employees.
$30,000
Yeah. That says it all. I mean, they wanted us to work there, but I wanted to go back to college because I did not want to work there for the rest of my life.
Although, one thing it is good as, like in our situation, is they said, you know, if you don't have anything next summer or even over winter break, I think I'm probably just going to go back and work there, make some extra cash over winter break. But a lot of these, even if you don't want to work there for the rest of your life, you can get a fallback in case, you know, your other prospects fall through. That way you're still making money and still building your resume. Eating is good.
For me, they were pretty pleased with my work. They didn't offer me like a job next year, but they wanted me to just stay there and work. But I was like, no, I have to go back to college. So I'm still kind of working for them part-time a little bit, but I'm busy with my MQP, so can't get as much done. Hey.
So we were kind of lucky in the sense that this is the first time that Dejabon was looking to actually hire people. With pay, because they're such a small studio, they are pretty limited in the amount of games that they can make per year. And for someone who that's their entire income, that's somewhat limiting. So now that they are getting a little bit bigger projects, they wanted to basically upsize and hire a few people, and they were impressed. So both of us actually were offered jobs at the end of the summer, and we will both be working with them part-time over the school year. So.
Well, for me, they don't really guarantee like a job after you graduate, but they actually have like a official evaluation midway through the internship, and then they just said that they would like to invite me back for the next summer if I decide to. So, well, how about you?
Yeah, something I would like to add to that is WPI has strong connections with Imagine Engine in particular. There are lots of WPI grads there, and certainly I think if you get an internship there, you have very good odds of being able to get hired there after you graduate. Even just because of, and even if you didn't get an internship there, I think if just through WPI connections, you can probably get a foot in the door at Imagine Engine in particular. So I think that's something important to keep in mind as well.
Was it more of a job or a learning experience?
Both, as always, right? We certainly did work. It's not, I mean, not just playing games all day, but definitely was a learning experience, both in technical skills and in other ways. I'm sorry, I missed the first hour, so I don't know what you guys have already said about your learning experience. But for me, I learned a lot of small technical things that I probably wouldn't have got to know just from being at WPI. But I also learned a lot about the industry itself, and I think that's a really important part.
Mine was both also. I worked with a lot of intelligent people. There were about five or six of us in total working on the same project. There were the three main people that were actually developing the system, and then us two who were kind of testing it, writing tutorials, doing kind of the smaller work. I learned how to set up a motion capture system. They had a Vicom system right in the room, our office, so to speak. I learned a lot of interesting stuff that I never really had a desire to learn. I didn't really know much about it, and it wasn't really up my alley. I'm more of the artistic kind of side, but it was really interesting to, you know, just motion capture in general. We had so many conversations with the guy. We bounce ideas back and forth all the time, just, you know, kind of talking back and forth about if I had an idea for, you know, some type of virtual reality simulation, I could talk to them because they're experts in this field. They're developing the leading technologies for it. So a really huge learning experience.
Kind of along those lines, a lot of times we would just have somewhat casual conversations, and you could really see the interaction between the serious game side of things and the entertainment industry. Actually, Kyle wasn't there, but when at the last day we had this, like, I don't know exactly what his title was. I think he was Secretary of the Navy. Come in, yeah, and very lots of dudes. No, he didn't have a big hat, but he had a lot of dudes in suits with him that were just like, and I was very quiet and I didn't say anything. But he actually inquired about, you know, if this got out and became the next thing, you know, as an entertainment game. He basically asked about the interaction between the two. So it was interesting to see how much that was like something they were kind of interested in.
So as a learning experience, something else that I found to be very valuable was getting experience working with people that are different than you are. That is not just artists, everything, but producers, clients even, just working with different groups of people who have a totally separate body of knowledge than yourself. And I think that was actually one of the biggest things I learned, was what it's like to communicate with people like that in a work atmosphere. So that's something that I think you can that's hard to get here. Certainly that's what the projects do here as well, but having not gone through those yet, for me, this is my first real experience like that. So if you can get internship after your freshman year, after your sophomore year, before you've gone on to any of the projects where you get those experiences, I think that's really important as well.
I guess I'll just say so real quick. I wouldn't necessarily really call it my experience like a job, because I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work, but like I learned a ton of just technical stuff and working on like a real team. I would definitely suggest getting an internship. Like, just the amount of stuff you learn about just being in the industry is just, it's hard to explain. It's, you know, it's really, 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 really helpful.
As an artist, I'd say any chance to use your medium, whether it be traditional 2D, 3D, I was using Maya and Photoshop quite a bit, is a learning experience. I'd say it's definitely more of a learning experience than a job for me. We, along with that kind of building stuff, we also had tasks in research. I did a lot of research on terrain generation, because we wanted to add some mountains in the game that you could fly down. And so I looked up probably 10 different programs for that kind of thing, narrowed it down to about 5 or 6, tried them all out, messed around with them for a few hours, figured out which one was best suited for our purposes, and that's the one we used to make stuff in the actual game. So along with actually practicing skills, I also learned a lot about different tools that are available for anybody who is making games. So I don't know if you have anything more to say.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll agree that working with Dejabon was a lot more fun than job-y things. I definitely learned a lot, too. One main thing that I learned is that what I learned in CS classes actually helps. So make sure you pay attention in your software engineering classes. That really did help a lot with planning my time around the scripting languages and actually writing them, too, in an efficient way that wouldn't make the game lag up all the time.
For me, when I was working on Are You Smarter, it's actually more like a work experience, because it's at the end of the production's process, so we have really strict deadline that we have to meet. So we always have to do the most that we can to finish, to debug or add new features. But actually, at Imagine Engine, if you get stuck at something, then you can go around and ask people, engineers who work at the project or engineers who are familiar with the game engine, and they will definitely gonna help you out, understanding what the problem is, or help you with the all the problems you have. So.
I want to give a little, Josh, you go next. I just want to say something. It's not an either or thing, this job and fun thing. It's not like it wasn't a job because I had fun. I mean, look at the faculty here. We don't tell anybody. We have like the best jobs in the world.
Shh.
Oh, wait, is this thing on? So yeah, it's really interesting to hear you guys, like, the question was interesting and the answers are interesting. You know, the goal in life is to make your hobby your job, right? Because then you'll be doing the thing you love most all the time, which is good, okay? Josh, go ahead.
So I kind of want to follow up on a point that Tam brought up and just kind of get a sense from you guys if you felt well prepared to do the things you were asked to do, or if there were things that you kind of wished you had learned about in classes before you got there that
For me, I felt really, really confident before the job. Like I thought I had all the skills plus way more. But then when I got on to working on the engine, it definitely brought out things that I want to work on. Even though I did manage to get stuff done, but I just learned about like different weaknesses I had, and I was overall prepared, but it definitely helped me see what I need to work on.
I was kind of along the same lines. I thought, you know, I'm not going to be doing extremely advanced models and whatnot, but for me the big thing was I had modeled and gotten it actually in game, but the getting it from Max to this VBS2, that was the job in and of itself, really, rather than making the thing to be brought in. And it really showed me that I need to get better with making sure that works. I mean, in part it was that the software was extremely obtuse, but I need to improve that. It definitely revealed that I need to improve my ability to do that.
Well, I was pretty nervous because I was a freshman. I didn't have a portfolio. I had close to nothing on my resume, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing. I was going to work for the government. Oh my God, what are they going to do? They're going to stick tubes in the back of my head and stuff. So,
what was the answer?
What's that?
Did they actually do that?
I'm not at
we
liberty
can't talk
to.
About it.
But
confirm nor deny.
when I heard that, I knew I was going to be writing a manual, and I'd never. I mean, I've written instruction before, but never like a per se step by step how to use and like how to communicate to people. And so I kind of just jumped right into it and did it how I would just do it by myself, as if it was my own game. And I found out once I sent out my first pass and got it back, they were like, "What? You're a really good writer. This is really great. Keep going with this." So that really boosted my confidence. So nervous at first, and then it worked out.
I would say that the school prepared me well, though there were many things I encountered that I hadn't specifically learned here. I had learned how to learn something similar. I think that's something we always say is, you know, you learn how to learn, even if you don't have the exact skills you need. So for example, I did a lot of Lua programming, and I had never seen Lua before, but considering that our first CS class here is in Scheme, it's actually useful. Who would have known? So, having function.
One more time for the audience.
Scheme is useful. Wow. So, I would say that, yeah, for me, I definitely found the school prepared me well, and I'm doing a lot. I did a lot of things that I didn't think I'd be doing. I did some sound work, and I never thought I'd be doing that. I did a lot, almost exclusively, I was doing level design the whole time, and I found I had a lot of skills I didn't know I had. So I'd say the school prepared me well, even if I had to do a lot of Google searches for things to figure out exactly how to do them, I felt well prepared. So yeah.
Just one quick thing to add. The IMGD courses, like critical studies and social issues and all those, really give you a good mindset of how to think about what you're working on. So when we went into the point man system and VBS2, I really took a lot of ideas from these classes and applied them to what I was working on. So pay attention to everything those classes have to offer you.
Yeah, especially like you might dismiss serious games, be like, oh, it's just boring, and you know, but they're actually extremely useful, and sometimes the serious games are the ones that create the innovation. Like, I know when I first sat down with the Point Man controller, I wanted to throw it out the window because the way they use the DualShock is completely against everything that I've, you know, am used to. But by the end, I didn't really hate it, and it kind of worked. Still never forget it.
So, because I was at such a small studio, I was able to kind of pick my own tools. It wasn't like a big studio where everybody uses 3ds Max or whatever. They use a certain thing. I was able to use what I had learned here and apply that in a way I wanted. As for things I didn't know, you just look them up. You do research. If there was a question you had, you'd ask someone. You'd look at previous projects or whatever. And as infallible as professional game developers may seem, there are things that they didn't know either. So, I mean, sometimes I'd have a question they didn't know. We'd both look it up together. It's a good learning experience. You can always find a new and better way to do something that you have been doing, and it's especially fun when you discover some kind of tool that that makes a task that maybe you were doing before a really tedious thing that wasn't very fun, that makes it automated, it makes it easier. So, I don't know, as technology gets better, everybody has questions about it. So it's just learning, learning about the new things that are coming out, and just trying to stay in line with technology today. I mean, that's pretty much all it is.
Okay.
I have a question. As an art, you worked in the art set. What type of, like, how strong was your portfolio for that?
Well, I had a few projects that I'd worked on for classes here. I didn't have any prior experience, like, professionally or anything like that. So my resume was based off of projects. As I said before, the guys who own the company are WPI graduates, so it's a lot about connections when you're first trying to get your foot in the door. But I mean, just do as well as you can on the projects here. Try to make something that would be impressive to someone who's making games for money. And it's pretty much what you got to do. So,
for those of you who worked on commercial titles, how many of you are getting credit? Are you getting credits on the titles that are shipping?
Mm-hmm. He didn't work on Ice Water for like a week, and then he also got credits.
I don't know my name for how so many places and credits. Apparently, I don't know how that happened.
So it happened, Ian, because of me. I was lead designer on Alvin, and they came to me with the credits list and said, do this list for us, has to be approved by everybody, and I made you the level designer, the sole name. So, not bad for sophomore or junior. To get your name on a professional game, even when the game is Alvin the Chipmunks, the Squeakle. It's still actually passed. Finally, just say a few things. As an employer dealing with interns like these people, companies go to get interns for one reason. They want cheap labor. Often in the summertime, as you know, games are a seasonal business, and games generally come out in the late summer and fall, and that's the crunch time, and that's when they often need a little extra help. And guess what? That's when the cheap labor becomes available. That sounds a little bit crass,
but we're also, I say we because I feel like I'm still there, but they also are looking for prospective employees. I mean, one of the great risks when you're taking on a new employee is this guy going to work out? Is he normal? Will they work normal hours? Does he get along with people? Once they know you, that increases your chances of getting a job there 1,000%. Okay, I mean, I know this guy and this guy can easily get a job at Imagine Engine if they want one when they get out of college, easily. They'll hire them in a shot because they have this huge advantage. We know them. Okay, so that's another good reason to be an intern, and kind of obvious, but once you're in a place, once your foot's halfway in the door like that, it's virtually all the way in the door. If you had chosen to stay there rather than go on, I'm sure they would have taken you on, undoubtedly.
But don't do that.
Finish your education. The jobs will still be there when you get out. But if you have a few games under your belt and stuff, that's very impressive on your resume. I mean, these guys have a leg up on people who have not done the extra legwork to go out and get these interns. You really need to be doing this. I mean, this is not a vocational school, but we do want you to come out and have, you know, productive professional lives. So if you can find a good internship in a company and get some experience, that's really, really good for you, and it's good for the companies as well. I think Ian will back me up on this. We're looking for cheap labor, okay? Specifically, we're looking for people who can get things done. We have problems that need to be solved. I'll use Alvin as an example because we worked pretty closely on that. In Alvin, we had an incredible crush schedule. The original design for the game was they came to us very late in February. This company came to us for a movie that's coming out on Christmas Day this year. And they want it for the Wii and DS, which means it has to be done in August or late July, at the very latest, in order for the manufacturing cycles to go so the packages can be on shelf before Thanksgiving. Okay, so we had a very narrow window. The original plan was we were going to take a product from another one of our sister companies, High School Musical 3, which was another rhythm game for the Wii and DS, and we were going to just take those game mechanisms and reskin it. That was the original plan. So we budgeted for that, and we scheduled, this is just a reskin. We're not inventing any new technology. We're not inventing any new mechanisms. All the tools for mapping the music and the moves are in place. All we got to do is change the art and the music, and we're done, right? Not the way it worked out, is it? It's not the way it worked out. Instead, what we found out we had gotten about 6 weeks or 8 weeks into the process, and we had design documents. We were all set to go. We had it figured out, and then suddenly, one of the lawyers of Foundation Nine said, no, you really can't steal those mechanisms. They belong to Disney. Now, we already signed the contract. The schedule was in place. The budget was in place. But suddenly, we had to reinvent everything from scratch, everything. So we had quite a challenge. Another challenge that came up, which you and I are directly, the tools. Yeah. They had created a tool for mapping dance moves onto the music. Well, this tool, I don't know who wrote it, but he didn't go to a good school. Let's just put it that way. It was very cumbersome. I don't know how they got anything done with this tool on that. I don't know how they did it in any reasonable amount of time. So I had to go in, and later he took it over. We had to basically come up with a new way to do it. And then, of course, there's the whole level design thing, the idea of, you know, actually taking this, like the Macarena as done by the Chipmunks, okay, actual example, and making turning that into a fun game that is figuring out what moves to do, what when to switch the mechanisms. It's got to tell you, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of iteration, listening to the same ear-piercing music dozens and dozens of times. No, you don't even hear it anymore after a while. Yeah, it's like but the people in the offices around you hear it. They really hear it. So, and they appreciate headphones. But the point I'm trying to make here is that we had this need for a level designer that we didn't think we were going to need because we thought we had the tools and everything and the mechanisms in place. Suddenly, we didn't. And so that's why we needed someone to get stuff done. And that's what employers are looking for, is someone who can actually get the stuff done. At the end of the day, that's what we're looking for, is someone who can solve our problems and help us stick to our schedules and budgets. So to the extent that you can go into a company as an intern and be useful to them, that's very cool. The thing not to do is, if you're there and stuck, is do nothing. You have to ask questions. They want you to ask questions. They will not like you if you don't ask questions. They'll be suspicious, especially when they notice that work isn't getting done. Okay? They want to get the work done. So if you're not sure about something, ask somebody. They're happy to help you because it means that you're taking work off their plate. And everyone loves that. So So that's just kind of my spiel about it's all about making yourself useful to these people, and you will learn a great deal about what you know and what you don't know, and you'll get your name and credits. It's a great experience, but you have to kind of hustle a bit to get these internships. You can't just do it by, you know, I mean, no one's gonna dump it on you, you know, sitting in your dorm room. You gotta go out there and read the emails and check the websites. Postmortem, a lot of these guys have mentioned it. It's a really good thing to go to if you can get to it as often as you can. There's one next Wednesday, right? Like, press the flesh, meet people. I mean, I know some of these guys just walked up to these companies and say, do you need an intern? That's how to do it. You know, they're not gonna step in the room, oh, would anyone who likes to be an intern, you know, I'll just come and find you there in the crowd. No, not the way it works. See, these guys are busy, right? So you gotta go introduce yourself, make yourself noticeable. And you've got a lot of competition, so you have to excel. Your projects are a really good way, and these guys didn't even have any yet, but the projects are a really good way to get yourself noticed. If you can get your projects so that they're professionally presentable, that's important. So take the projects that you're doing, even the ones you're doing in your freshman year, take those projects really seriously. Potentially any project you do here is a portfolio piece. So don't waste any of them. If you can do good professional work, do it from the beginning. I guess that's my spiel, but no.
So,
I'd like to, guys can ask more questions if you want, but I'd like to summarize a little bit. And you guys can nod or say, no, he's wrong. But it seems like, be proactive. It seems like if you want to get something done, you can't send a resume in and say, oh, I haven't heard back from Turbine yet. I'm sure they're still looking over my resume. Like, well, how long has it been? Oh, it's been about 3 months. Like, they're not looking over your resume anymore. You got to follow up. You got to, again, you don't want to overdo it, but you don't want to underdo it because everybody's looking for the same job. So you need to be persistent in what you do. You need to make them believe that you are the right person for this job and that you really, really, really want this job. So every opportunity you get, you got to follow up. You can't be timid. The timid people don't get jobs. I'm generalizing a lot. But so you really have to be proactive.
And err on the side of being annoying. Because those are the people who end up with the jobs. It's the people who get noticed. It's competitive. Hate to say it, but it is. And it's more competitive now than it ever was, and getting worse. Luckily, the industry is growing, so there's more opportunities too. But companies want the excellent people, and they have ways of detecting them. So,
and those of you who have credits, you know, that should be like the second thing on your resume is, here are the games where I have credit, where I have actual game credits. That should be right there, because that's going to differentiate you. Oh, this guy's right out of school. Oh, wait, look. He's worked on the Chipmunks game.
Do your homework.
See, I'd respect, having gone through it, I'd respect that. It's like, hey, he survived. You know? He survived the Chipmunks game.
The homework point that we made, I think, is a really, really important one. If you show up there and you say something that the person you're interviewing didn't think of, they'll remember that. So you really, you know, websites know about the company, know about their games. That's the difference between someone who's just sort of ho-hum and someone who said, oh, you know, wow, you know, that's a really good idea. I'm like, I'm writing that down and talk to our developers about that. That's what you want to do.
So it's something like, oh, I noticed that you've made a lot of DS titles. Have you thought about, you know, and name a couple of them. Say, have you thought about working on another platform? Because I think this particular game might work well using the Wiimote. He'll be like, dude, this guy has really thought about our company. He's looked at actually done some real thinking about ways that could make things better. So another thing is, first of all, I think it's great that you guys got internships. You seem to really use them to get the most out of them. The other thing is, they have set a good precedent for everybody else who comes along. So the next time any of these organizations are thinking about interns, they're going to call us or post to the CDC or something at WPI, because they know that WPI students have delivered for them in the past. And past experience is not a predictor of future performance, but sometimes it's as good an indicator as anything else. And I take every opportunity I can at Boston Postmortem to say, how many WPI students do we have here? So that at least everybody there can say, oh, so those guys are the WPI students, and that they always hear WPI's name and everything. It's a brand. It really is branding, in the Darius sense of the word.
And you are as an intern representing WPI. Never forget that. I mean, you are leaving an impression. Imagine Engine happens to have extraordinarily good connections with WPI. I mean, I used to work there. Mike Gesner now is their head of production.
Right.
He was a student here, but not a graduate. We have to talk about that.
And Dejaban also, you know, Ichiro is a graduate and a couple other people.
But it is a brand, and you are representing the school. So you're helping not only yourself when you do a good job, but you're helping the students coming after you too, because they will remember, you know, that this is a place to get good interns.
I'm a senior, but I haven't had an internship yet. So when I get out of school, I'll be done school. Should I just try? I'm just sort of looking for like some advice. Should I try to just get a job, or should I look for like an internship or something first?
Either. My take is either.
I would say yes. I would take anything that you can get. Of course, you want a paying job first, but most of the internships paid anyway. It might not be the best pay. As we've heard from a couple people, you might take a really low-level job, but it leads to something. You know, if you perform well, so Darius Kazemi is a good example. He started out really doing QA. He completely changed the way QA is done and ended up building new tools and started his own company that specifically does that. So you'll hear this from a lot of people. Of course, you'd like to have options, like, oh, I could go here, or I could go here, or I could take this job or this job. If you're in that situation, that's great. But if you're not in that situation, the main thing is that you're actually working in the industry and doing something productive that puts you on a path.
Right.
That's what I would
say. You've got to get your foot in the door somewhere.
I'd absolutely look for internships if I was in your situation, because that's a schedule in the summer. They perfectly have, they don't care if you're a senior or a junior. I definitely wouldn't say, well, I can't intern that now because I got to get a real job. I would absolutely look for an internship along with your regular.
And internships often turn into real jobs,
exactly.
Especially if you're not a student anymore. You're in the door, they know you, you did a good job. Who are they going to turn to hire? Duh, they're not going to go out and get in the resume pile again. They're knocking your door.
Yeah. Something actually to say, I got my internship, which I went to when I was 26.
Okay.
So my wife is supporting me, and they paid me like $6 an hour, and I took it. Just made it work, and then I got a job.
I have changed careers several times, and it always involved a pay cut. You have to be willing to go in at a low level in order to start at the bottom. But I mean, I had a career as a technical writer, which paid very well at Bose Corporation back in the early 80s. But when the personal computer revolution started and I saw Star Raiders and Atari 800, I lost half my pay to go work at this little nothing magazine over here in Cherry Valley.
You know,
and just look where I ended up. Look where I ended up.
You know, actually, I've seen a lot of people sort of in that category, like on the Mad Doc, there was a guy who's the technical lead now.
And he started as an intern, and now he's the technical lead, and I've seen that quite a bit. And he was coming from another career. I think he worked at Gillette, you know, and he was maybe like 28 or something like that, and he wanted a career change. He came in, sort of, you know, ate his pride and worked as an intern for like 3 months, and they liked him. And now he's been there for like 4 years now, and he's doing really well. So
another reality.
Good question.
Check. Boston area is real nice, and there are some game companies here. But most of the action is in other parts of the country.
Be prepared to move if you want to be in this business. You may be able to find careers in this area if this is where you want to be, but most of the game industry is located on the West Coast, specifically the San Francisco Bay Area, Los Angeles, and Seattle. Another big sell is in Austin. And there are companies around Washington, D.C. and scattered other places, but Boston is not yet a major center of the business. So be prepared when you're looking around. Be prepared to move. I spent most of my career on the West Coast, actually.
Thank you.
Any last closing thoughts or anything else anybody wants to ask or say? Going once? Okay, let's thank everybody again. And we'll see you all next week at the same time. Might have the same food, might have some different food. And I'll send out what the speaker is next week.
Very soon. So I'm curious.